This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
What up, High Fivers? Guess what? Yep, it's your boy, High Five Tom. I mean, obviously, it's my podcast, so it would be weird if it wasn't me. But we are doing another Ring of Honor Revelry watch-along, but I'm not alone. Oh, no, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. First, I've got my very good friend, pretty much the third member of our Ring of Honor Revelry triumvirate, Mr. Brundon. Brundon, how are you this evening?
Doing great, man. Doing good. Great.
Welcome back. Listen, I feel like I just talked to you.
I feel like I just did too.
It's weird how that happens.
Yeah.
But we brought in some reinforcements. A couple people I've been wanting to get on for a long fucking time. First, Mr. Jason C. Bell of Band from Ringside and also the Phoenix Splash podcast, JCB. How the fuck are you this evening?
I am doing fucking well, Tom. How the fuck are you?
Well, now that I get to see you guys smiling sexy faces, things are just a little bit better, so. But we did bring in some reinforcements.
Ooh, checks in the mail. Don't cash it before Thursday.
Fair enough. Our good friend, Mr. Alex Azar, finally someone I've been wanting to get on, someone I've hung out with in person, also members of our soon-to-be-on Patreon text thread, so we got to figure out how we can monetize our text messages. But Azar, how are you, my friend?
G1 season starts this weekend, so I am 11 out of 10, 6 stars, very excited.
Nice. Now, how many 5-star match or 4-star plus matches do you have so far this year?
Ooh, I feel like I'm probably like half of wherever Brett's at, so let me pull this up.
Did Brett say 700 on the last podcast?
I think he's on pace for 700.
Oh, okay.
I'm at 168, so I'm not marking out quite as hard as he is, but I'm trying.
Yeah, to break down the fourth wall, we did kind of mention this before, but JCB, Azar, and Brett from the Brainbuster Boy show out to Brett are on a very awesome text thread. So yeah, once you can figure out how to, you know, set up a Patreon and make some money off that shit, you know, we'll figure it out. It would actually be a good idea.
Yeah, I would think we would have to put some sort of sticker on that, explicit or, you know, something along those lines. Just
adults only. Yeah,
because sometimes, sometimes you know, Brett gets a little upset, and you know, I don't necessarily want to push the CM Punk button unless we absolutely have to, because that's usually the one that sets him off nowadays. So yeah, I would definitely think we need a sticker for that before we do some crazy shit like that, for sure.
But yeah, like you could do it so like how you could be part of the text message group, but they don't know like your actual number. And they can't actually text either, so that'd be just good. So they're just kind of like a fly on the wall.
You got to come up with tiers.
Yeah.
You know, you get to read the group for $1. You get to be a part of it for $3.
Yeah.
Oh, $3? No. It's got to be more cash than that.
Even 300.
Maybe per day. $3, you get a day.
Talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
Make a pay for it, man. We talking $5, baby. You want to be on part of this check story. Come on now. Cash the fee.
I thought you meant 300. I was like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. So.
Oh, damn. We ain't that good now. Shit. You talking Dave Meltzer type shit.
Yeah. That's a $5,000 idea, I think, if I ever heard one. So.
Hey, I'll take 100 and just you can keep the rest.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we will get to it eventually. But so we're doing another. This is from Glory by Honor.
Hell yeah! Oh,
shit, I didn't realize that. All right, but we are going to be reviewing eventually here. Bryan Danielson, obviously formerly known as Daniel Bryan. If you don't know that he goes by Bryan Danielson by this point, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Versus Kenta, which he was Hideo Itami, right, in NXT?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is correct.
Did
Victim
he?
Victim of the damn parking lot.
Yeah, no shit. That fucking NXT.
Forgot parking, about that.
That goddamn NXT parking lot. Jesus.
I mean, the worst security of all time.
Listen, do you guys have any? When did Kenta go to NXT? Do you guys remember exactly?
It was like 2014 or 15.
Jesus, that long ago?
It was 14 because it was the same time as like Kevin Owens. I think it was 14. Yeah. He came in at the same time as Owens and like a few other people.
Sami Zayn was already there.
Yeah.
Neville Finn, slash Pac yeah, was there.
Yeah, Finn came in at the same class as that. There was like mm-hmm. four of them, I remember, that were like huge names.
And he never made the main roster, did he?
I don't think so.
Yeah, unless he made like 205 Live or something like that.
I mean, is that even considered the main roster at that point?
You were touring with it. They were on Raw at one point. They changed the ropes.
Good point. Good point. I don't think he ever made the main roster. I was going to say, I always thought for whatever reason he got hurt real early in his NXT career. Like his shoulder got banged up, came back, and he got hurt again. And then it never really worked. He was, you know, I hate to use the word injury prone, but that's kind of the way it felt like his NXT run was. It was always one injury after another. And then by the time he was healthy again, his contract was up and then he was gone.
Yeah, because the only thing I remember.
Who was it? That's where my hatred of Riddick Moss came from. I believe it was him, did a power slam on Kenta, landed on his shoulder, and that was the start. So
now, when I woke up this morning, and I was looking forward to this podcast, Riddick Moss was not a name I thought I was going to be.
No. I was going to say Riddick Moss did not make the 2023 bingo card tonight.
No.
Money come.
Yeah. Because the only thing I really remember about Kenta was, or Tommy, or today, whatever, was when he jumped Chris Hero after a match. And like, the whole crowd was like, oh my God, oh shit. And then, like, yeah, I think he got hurt. And then that was it. So,
but I remember he hit a match with Aleister Black that was pretty tight.
Oh, yeah. Mm. God damn.
I do remember that, too. I was going to say that was another story for another time. But yeah, I do miss Aleister Black. I think that was a run in NXT that would have, could have, should have run, but once again, another injury kind of derailed that. So it is what it is. It's a dangerous sport.
That motherfucker, I mean,
wasn't that the
you.
One where like he ripped his nutsack at a house show or something?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, I was going to say I don't.
Like, it was
I don't
a weird injury yes that no. threw him yeah, off.
I want to say that's right because it felt. It, weird at the time when I heard about it, I was like, that doesn't even sound right. And he was gone for a hot minute. So I would almost say yes, but I'm not 100% sure.
How does one rip their nut? I don't want to know.
You you ride a bicycle with no seat on it. Ask a buddy of mine I went to high school with.
Was your buddy one of the guys in Blink-182?
I don't think so.
Oh. I remember this kid in middle school. He used to tell people that he fucking was running through the woods naked and had a boner tripped and broke his dick. But I'm like, dude, there's no bones in your dick. It's just, you know, so yeah. Yeah, I mean, I give that guy shit, and it was 35 years ago, so.
That's amazing. Yeah. There's so many questions for that.
Why would you tell me that?
Yeah. You can add that sixth question I had on the list. But yeah, you can add that on there. What the hell?
So you could broadcast it on a podcast 35 years later.
Yeah, no shit. So,
dumbass.
Yeah. Well, if anyone knows Tom, you know, I'm a fucking hold grudges. So fuck you, Mr. Cito, cocksucker, guidance counselor man. So
Yeah, fuck him.
But yeah, we're not gonna talk about Tom's middle school grudges or anything. But yeah, do you guys have, so Brendan, like I said, obviously you're the Ring of Honor kind of expert on, I shouldn't say kind of expert on this. Do you have any run up or any background on this match at all? Or
so I remember. This is pretty far into Brian's reign, I believe. He's at least a year in, I'm pretty sure at this point. And Kenta was like the big fucking name that they would bring over at that point. Like him and Mar Fuji came over for Final Battle one year. And it was like the biggest thing because, you know, at that time, like Japanese guys never came over, really never came over. Like Kobashi, Misawa, all those guys, they never made the States until the 2000s. So to start seeing some of these guys, you know, not named Muda was huge. The internet's blowing up at that point, and you're able to see more stuff. Clips are showing, and Kenta and Mar Fuji are just wowing everybody at that point. So this was a huge, huge match.
So was Kenta, was he Noah or DDT? Right? I mean, he wasn't like New Japan or All Japan, was he?
He was All Japan originally. He trained in the All Japan dojo. He got Kenta because Kenta Kobashi was his like senpai, his mentor and everything. Right. So, and then obviously he went over with Misawa to Noah. And when that happened, because he, I mean, the way All Japan kind of was, he probably would have never gotten he would have gotten a chance, but not like a chance. You never hear about the amazing All Japan Juniors division.
Right.
So when he went to, he went to Noah, they're featured juniors. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he was a big deal there.
Yeah. And Azar, are you familiar with Kent at all pre like NXT or anything or around this time at all?
I feel like I've seen more Noah Kenta than Ring of Honor Kenta. But I like for me, again, not really knowing a ton of the stories, but I've seen three or four of his matches against Nakajima from back then, some of the Mara Fuji ones, a few where he was tagging with Shibata that would have been a little before this, I think. And then I think there's a match that they did in the United States that was like Misawa versus Kenta. So I've seen that, but again, a decent amount, but not a ton.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going into this pretty much relatively blind. So, I mean, obviously I know the names and all the players and everything. So
before CM Punk stole his moveset, too.
I mean,
damn it, Jason. I just pointed it took that long for it to get one of those. So.
No, man. Somebody had to get called out for it. I mean, wow, that's crazy.
I fucking love CM Punk.
Hashtag facts. However,
hashtag tell me when I'm lying.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell him when he's telling lies. That's great.
Do we ever get CM Punk versus Kenta?
I hope not.
I don't think we will. I just love seeing Kenta.
Kenta is going to hold out for the bag, and that's the reason why I think they didn't get it at Forbidden Door this year. There, obviously, you know, there's a working relationship between AEW and New Japan. I honestly just don't see it happening. It would have to be a big stage. Wembley is the next big stage coming up, and that's all AEW. From that point, we'd have to talk about another super card that would be coming up. I don't see one. Can't think of one that's anytime this year. So then we'd be talking about Forbidden Door next year. No telling what's happening by this time next year. So if I had to say whether or not it would happen, I would probably say no.
I feel like if they ran it, it would have been like if WWE ran Undertaker Sting when they actually had Sting, and there's zero chance it would have ever lived up to the hype and would have left bad taste in people's mouth.
Well, I mean,
mid 2000s, it would have been great.
There is always a window. Yeah. And then you miss that window at that point. You probably can't get it back to where you have the hype of these two guys really not liking each other. And like you said, CM Punk being a thief in the night. So in that scenario, I would love to see it. I just don't see it happen.
Also, Kenta's matches the last like year and a half, 2 years, other than like two or three, really haven't been that good. So like, yeah. I'd rather, if like if I had to see the Punk match, like there's other guys that I'd rather see in that spot. So
I can't disagree with that. His Bullet Club guest run, for lack of a better term, has been
lackluster.
I won't say suspect. They're perfect word, lackluster. I know what he can do, but then I see what he's doing, and now I'm just like, okay, you know, all right. Whatever.
These matches are like Yujiro caliber.
Oof. Oh, I'm not. Look, that is on point as far as I'm concerned. He's now become more comedy than he is the serious wrestler than I've seen him in the past, and that is what it is. It's not a knock, but you know, Azar hit it on the head. As far as I'm concerned, I mean, look, go back and look at his matches with outside of the match with Tanahashi in that no holds barred match. I guess that was Wrestle Kingdom like 2 years ago. Anything past that has been comedy, 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 and it is what it is. But it's not what I think we're getting ready to see here in a little bit.
Hmm. Yeah, fair enough. That's a good segue, Jason. It's almost like you've done this before.
Once or twice. Yeah.
You know, well, at least 315 times, so.
Yeah, right.
Have you missed? Let's see. I think I started tuning in probably around 150 or so. Have you ever missed an episode?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, have you?
Usually, yeah, the usual episode is right around
opening day,
WrestleMania time, because opening day and WrestleMania, our WrestleMania preview show, usually falls on that Thursday, and I can't be in two places at once. So
it's tough.
The boys can talk shit behind my back for 24 hours. I'll listen to it afterwards and then come back the following week after I destroy them and on WrestleMania predictions and talk shit back. So, yeah, it all works itself out.
Well, I mean, the episode where you had Brett in playing Bill and Diesel playing Zach was pretty fucking awesome, though. That's definitely one of my favorite PFR episodes, so.
It was a scenario where it all worked itself out. And now I always want to try to do something more like that, especially when, you know, you leave me in charge. You know, I can bring in anybody I want. Anybody I want. Okay. Yep. Yes, for it, buddy. So no, it was a blast. And that was probably the precursor to PSP while you're playing. That was the first time Brett and I really talked or whatever, precursor to Forbidden Door as well. So yeah, there was that's why I call you my Lord and Savior, wrestling Lord and Savior. High five time.
I don't know, but I think we're gonna have to make a Forbidden Door repeat next year, depending on where it is. So unless Mania is coming to Minneapolis, they're talking about Mania coming to Minneapolis for 41. Is there any chance you'd want to come up?
For WrestleMania, yeah, I'll come up for it. I mean, what the hell? You know, I've already been to WrestleMania, you know, by the grace of God, but yeah, I can go to a second WrestleMania. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, because I was in the Royal Rumble done by you, and I always said, I'm not going to a WWF event unless WrestleMania or SummerSlams at Chicago or Minnesota. So,
quiet as it's kept, Survivor Series, I thought I saw was going to be in Chicago this year.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Unconfirmed. It's not WWE that's come out and said this. I just saw it on Twitter, and I just happened to see it. I was like, oh, you don't say. That could be a late birthday present for your boy.
Yeah. I spend too much time in Chicago as it is, God damn it. So
don't need any more of that, that's for sure.
I'm just putting it out there, brother.
No, I know. Yeah, because I missed Survivor Series, but I was at the first War Games came to NXT, came to Rosemont, ooh, Chicago. And then they had Survivor Series. So it was the first women's War Games. So I did get to see Kevin Owens.
To go to.
Yeah, that's when I had shit-ass fucking seats, too, cocksuckers. 125. I was in the last row on the floor, but I bought front row. I bought front row on the seats. And so I'm like, and I'm opposite the fucking goddamn fucking in. Oh, yeah. Fuck you, WWE, for your $125 fucking ticket.
To be fair, Tom, if WrestleMania comes there, you don't have to go to it. You could take all that money and go to a whole bunch of indie shows. That's what I would do.
I mean, I could probably do both. So.
Well, I did. I did that when WrestleMania was in New York. I spent the whole day going to indie shows.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. I've never been to wrestling. That's what I did when I was in 19. I was just like, yeah. So I probably do both. I mean, we'll know people that are working and everything, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Anything else before I quit tangentializing here? Anything else before I hit the? That's a big word. I didn't think I used it properly.
It sounded good. Fuck it, dude. I'd say you would use it right.
Yeah,
I would say so too.
Do you guys have anything app before we hit the play button here?
No, let's fire this puppy up. I'm excited. Shit.
Yeah, you guys got it all queued up on that from the link.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm at 000 right now.
Let me switch. Gets 000. All right.
Oh shit! Why'd you start? That's not what I wanted, motherfucker. Okay. All right, we'll all hit play at 3, 2, 1.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
If you like your music heavy, then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest-running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
I do like these fucking that throwback enter Thursday entrance music. So,
I see, and this is the one thing I wanted to say about Ring of Honor, and I will probably say it again on Thursday. Probably the reason why I didn't get into more of Ring of Honor here in St. Louis is that it was like always behind. It was like 2 or 3 weeks behind. So, like, if a pay per view was coming up, you know, the build for the pay per view would be happening. I'm like, oh shit. And then, like, you know, the pay per view would happen. And then it would still be building on the pay per view for, like, the local TV show. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, sorry.
I've never understood why Sinclair was always ass backwards like this, because there's so many guys that are on Ring of Honor. Especially, we're getting ready to look at two right now, you know, with Danielson and Kenta. They had a monster roster at one point of guys that are superstars currently now. The TV was so jacked up on a weekly basis, you just couldn't keep up.
Oh, yeah.
With current programming. You know what I'm saying? That was my biggest problem with it. I never had a problem with, you know, watching the product. It was always just behind.
Yep.
You guys see who Kenta's seconds are there?
I saw one of them.
Yep.
Wasn't one of them Richards?
Yep.
Yeah, he was like his U.S. protege.
Motherfucker's still ducking me.
The other one is that fro, Muhammad Yon, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is Yon.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Hell no. Good call. Good call.
I was going to say, what do you think of Kenta's UPS themed trunks?
The man's ready to deliver, baby. I'm all for it. Go ahead and do your thing. Is that the girl right there next to Davey Richards? Like in the corner? I think that's Segura in the corner.
Had his head down the last shot?
Yeah, you can't really see him now. Yeah, he's like got his hands on his folded on his arms. So if somebody sees him and they can identify him correctly, I think that's Segura. Oh, shit. Here we go.
Hammerstein Ballroom.
Yeah, Todd Sinclair ref. Before he got skinny and then got fat.
That goddamn fucking child molester fucking mustache, though. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's, ooh, not,
that's not good.
Yeah. Oh, there's fucking...
Morishima.
Morishima, yeah.
Oh, the person who, like, you can only see the top of his head is Sagiri, you think?
Oh.
Yeah.
Get you some of that. Take that slap and like it.
Now, Brandon, is that upstairs or downstairs? Is that the upstairs one?
I think so, yeah.
So that's different where we were at, right?
No, I think that I see I don't know.
Well, maybe.
Because I see all the balconies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how it was set up then.
Wow.
It's not like I've been to like 5 or 6 shows there.
Right.
Yeah. Not this one, though.
Kenta no selling that slap.
Yep.
I say he should have known it was coming. You ain't gonna be slapping somebody and not get slapped back. I mean, come on now. That's just, you know, household rule 101 as far as I'm concerned when I grew up. You don't let nobody hit you and not hit them back.
Oof.
Yeah,
God damn.
Not only did he bend the arm back, but he took that knee and was like, you can get you some of that right in the grill. Oh, this is going to be the shit. Yes.
Yep. Oh, that's kicks.
Okay, so I'm assuming this is a work on the injured quote-unquote arm over here.
No, he actually separated his shoulder. I don't remember how recently it was, but I remember he did it either in a match against Samoa Joe or Cabana, and then he went another 45 minutes to a draw.
Shit.
I remember hearing that. Yeah, it's one of those two, like you said.
Yeah. I believe they were the same weekend also.
What's up, Smokes?
See, fuck all that. No, see, damn all that. I ain't wrestling no separated show. Yep.
Oh, God, fucking headbutt. I hate headbutts.
Headbutts. Yep.
Yeah, don't watch Higuchi then.
Yeah, right?
Have we not learned from Shibata?
No, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I see so many headbutts still. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yep.
Or have we not heard for, you know, learn from Chris Benoit?
Yep.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I will say, just for irony's sake, same injured arm that we see here is the same arm he injured against Okada.
Yeah.
There you go.
God damn, Kenta, you look so young.
Yeah, Azar, now that you said that, all I can see is fucking UPS now.
That's great.
David Richards. Can't believe that motherfucker.
Guys with corporate sponsors, does Brock still have Jimmy John's on his trunks?
I don't know.
I want to say no.
I wonder if he can even do that. Did he have Jimmy John still in WWE?
At one point, I thought he did, and then I don't think he does now. I was going to say, the more and more I think about it, I don't remember seeing any Jimmy Johns or anything else corporate on his trunks. I don't think he can do it. I mean, unless Jimmy Johns is a corporate WWE sponsor.
He had it when he first came back, I remember, because, you know, name dropping Punk again, he was pissed off about that.
Yeah, that was part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, God damn.
My chiropractor would be really happy.
Oh, yeah, I'm tapping right here, brother. This match is over. You are bending me back in ways that my back should be bending. Oh, no. No, just kudos to Kenta. You bound to me. Ain't no way. You ain't going to be just jerking me around like that. No. Hell no.
Gotta buy me dinner first.
As fuck.
So let's probably still pray Zach on the call.
I think it's Gabe.
Oh, Gabe Sapolsky?
I think. I'm not sure. I can't really. I don't have it up that high. I think that is Prazak, actually.
Jason,
that's Prazak, yeah.
Okay. You said you saw a Noah banner?
Yeah, when as I'm looking at, the hard cam is right here. It's to the left hand side, so it's above like Davey Richards.
Oh, fuck your chest!
Oh, Jesus!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that guy looks like Schlong.
Yeah, but you know, you think he'd leave the house though?
Yeah, that's.
Did you see the guy, the kid in the Anthrax t-shirt in the beginning, though?
I totally missed that. Damn, that's dating some shit right there. Anthrax? Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not brand new.
Yeah, I remember me and Tom vintage. Were talking about Anthrax at an ICW show.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There's Kerry Silk in half in the bag.
Yep.
That's not.
Just saying.
That's funny shit.
Oh, Silken was fucking. When I was at the final battle, he was fucking. Wait, he was Tom the Bomb wasted.
Jesus. Gotta think of it, Kenta.
despite the fact that you're not fighting in your home country, you're fighting in New York City, you're still going to be very confident because Kenta has been so
I don't know, man. I still dig that fucking ring, though, or that apron.
Sure, once again, by Kenta.
There's the mat and apron.
That looked badass.
No, it's totally different than what we've seen at this point from anybody else. Yeah.
Goes forward to try to relieve the pressure. Danielson still has his arm in a bad
The block letters really stand out.
Goes the shoulder to Danielson. Trying to work his way out of that position. Now with the head scissors on.
It's better than Tony Khan's bullshit fucking logo.
Breaks free.
Stop.
Kenta still staying on the arm.
He's trying. Not very well, but he's trying.
Oh, wow.
Get a submission
out
of Brian Danielson.
Remember coming back from Cincinnati, I ran into Tony Khan's limo driver at the airport. Ow.
He's working over the shoulder of Brian Danielson.
He is working that arm like it owes us some money.
Oh, I was grinding his fucking... Gee.
Oof.
Stop rubbing this shit. God damn. Man, get this man's knee off this man's arm. God damn, this looks painful as fuck. Dude, he is getting ready. He's trying to take this arm off of his shoulder. I'm going one side, I'm going to the other side, I'm going to remove this shit. Bye out. Oh. That's okay. See, that's the Kenta that I like right there. Just being cocky Kenta, but still can wrestle and is trying to take your arm off versus what Azar was saying, like what current Kenta is right now, much more of a comedy-centric wrestler. Reminds me of, like you said, Yujiro, Yano, God, fuck Yano, by the way, guys along those lines versus anybody else.
Yeah, these early Kenta matches, he's so aggressive and just he's going after people. And like the Marufuji one that I think Brett watched with Bo for Brainbuster Boys is incredible. And like those matches he had with Nakajima in 09, I think, are some of my favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say – Brett showed me a Nakajima Kenta match. I think they were both junior heavyweights in Noah. Totally different. I mean, I could barely recognize Nakajima. I mean, he was so young. I mean, you could see Nakajima, but he wasn't the Nakajima that I'm used to right now, the heavyweight Nakajima. Just totally different. But I mean, you can still see that he was, you know, deadly with the kicks off the bat. So, I mean, in that scenario, I appreciate Brett showing me that that match because it gave me more so of respect for Nakajima. I've seen my fair share of Kenta matches, but Nakajima for me is still new on my radar. I've only been watching Noah maybe a couple years tops, so I can't really say I was too familiar with Nakajima until very recently.
I actually saw a 16, I think he was like 16 at the time. 16-year-old Nakajima and Suzuki against the Briscoe brothers at Hammerstein for ROH 1 year. It was
Minoru Suzuki?
No, fuck.
Kataro Suzuki?
No. What was his name? Kenzo, not Kenzo. The New Japan champion, the guy that was he was Triple Crown champ also.
Oh, Sasaki.
Sasaki, yeah, there we go. Brain doesn't work right now.
Okay, I'm like,
yeah.
Why am I not coming up with this?
I knew it was an S. That's
no, that Sasaki makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
the time actually feels more right. It actually makes sense. Oh, nice spinning jack, jumping back kick. Okay, go ahead, Brian. Just do the shit. There you go.
Have they even had a pin attempt yet?
Maybe one?
Maybe one. Yeah, I was getting ready to say, but my knee-jerk reaction was to say no. It's been a lot more mat wrestling, submission wrestling. You know,
I love shit like that.
Rub my boot on your face type shit. You know, here's some more heel shit, raking of the eyes. This is the Daniel Bryanson I like.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, WWE, had his moments, don't get me wrong. But this is when I really, you know, I won't even say invested in him, but I appreciate him more. Don't get me wrong. He had to go to WWE and had to do, you know, what he had to do with some of the bad bookings and bad scripts, I guess, for lack of a better word. But this has always been his bread and butter, and I can watch him wrestle in ROH all day twice on Sunday.
Yeah.
All right, is anyone be able to find the match that he had with Goshi Ozaki?
No.
Ooh.
Because that's okay. That's what I've wanted to see for a while, and
I didn't know such a match existed.
Yeah, it was pre-2010, so like Go's gotten a lot better since then, but I think Cage Match has it like above 8.8 or something like that.
Well, damn.
Go did his excursion over in ROH, so that makes sense.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, it's amazing the amount of talent that's gone through Ring of Honor.
No doubt. I was getting ready to say excursion or otherwise.
Oh, he killed it when he was over there. He's FIP champ for a while, I remember. Sweet and Sour, remember. It's awesome.
I like how Danielson worked both knees in like an Indian deathlock maneuver before he put on the figure four. That's something, you know, you rarely ever see. It's either one, they stick to one leg and they work that one leg, but then right before he put the figure four on, he went to the right leg, switched to the left, went to the right. It kind of reminded me of a little Zack Sabre Jr.
God, I hope we get Danielson versus ZSJ one of these days.
We got it. We just, you know, we want it again. And that's always the problem. You know, timing is always a bitch. And, you know, like I said, this maybe next year's Forbidden Door will make more sense, hopefully. And I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. Hopefully Okada and Danielson get their trilogy out of the way by that point. But I would assume the third match would be, and I know, like I said, I can't believe I said that out loud. I would assume that the third match would be at Forbidden Door. Second match, obviously, at Wrestle Kingdom. Danielson always wanted to come over to Japan. It's on his, you know, bucket list. It's not the G1, so I mean, this is going to be the next best thing. So I'll settle for a Wrestle Kingdom Okada Danielson too. Why not?
That'd be okay, I guess.
It'd be tight. Anniversary show, maybe. Like, yeah, they usually don't do, but like, if they feel an excuse to like go for a big match.
It's a card that they never announce until the last minute. You can sneak them in there. I mean, they did what Kenny and Okada last year on that. Well, not last year, but this year's anniversary show. Kenny won the U.S. title or whatever. They put him and Okada next to each other, and I was just like, "What the fuck is going on over here?" My head's getting ready to explode. So, if you wanted to go that route, yeah, you can go that route if you wanted to.
I don't mean to plug my own shit here, but did everybody watch the Cruiserweight Classic from 2016?
Yes.
Sure did.
Yeah.
I watched maybe 30% of it.
God, yeah, I hadn't watched it till I reviewed it last year. God, I mean, I'm just saying because Danielson was on the call, but God damn. All that talent in fucking WWE?
No, it was... It was amazing to watch. It was, you know, the Cruiserweight division is something I never thought they would, you know, even venture to go back in. And obviously they didn't stay there long, but yeah, the Cruiserweight Classic was amazing to watch. You know, obviously, you know, you had TJP win it, but there were so many guys that were, you know, even in the tournament, Cedric Alexander's breakout moment. came there, obviously. So yeah, there was very few things that they did wrong. The only thing that they did quote unquote wrong was TJP was awarded the tournament, but they couldn't sign the guys that they initially wanted to. Kota Ibushi, ZSJ. So you went with the guys that you could. So at that point, I can't be mad about that.
And ZSJ was, I don't know if you, I always loved that move. Is that where Eddie Edwards stole that from, Brendan?
No, he stole that from Lance Storm.
Oh, the Canadian. I just love the sliding under grabbing. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
well, that well good. Yeah.
Oh jeez. It's like a lion tamer version.
Yeah. Like jeez. I'll steal from Brendan. It's simple but effective. Yeah, right.
A one-legged lion tamer.
I mean, you don't
no
need
shit, because I was about to say that once again, I'm ready to tap out for Kenta.
Oh yeah, I was tired, tapped out 40 minutes ago.
Ooh.
But yeah, ZSJ was competing in the Battle of Los Angeles while the Cruiserweight Classic tournament was going on too. And I don't know if he won that year or not. I don't remember. I don't know if you guys are PWG marks. I can't remember like I am, even, but
I was.
You saying that is no, I was very saying that bad part about PWG is, you know, you can't really, it's not accessible. You know, if you don't buy the CD, you just don't see it.
Yep.
It's on High Spots. It's just a year later.
Great.
And that's a shoot, too. I'm not even kidding, by the way.
No, I know. I was getting ready to say, there's, you know, I could tell you're not lying about that. By any
stretch. And the funny thing is, they don't even do DVDs now. There's just straight Blu-rays.
Jesus. Good thing I still got my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I always liked the off the top rope superplex.
He always did.
It's one of my favorite moves.
Yeah.
That, the Russian leg sweep, you know, shit like that has always been, you know, moves that I've always watched for. Like Bret Hart was always cool when he did the Russian leg sweep. It was just like, you know, he, you know, flip back with him and then roll up, you know, get back on his feet. I thought he was dope.
They didn't call him the excellence of execution for nothing.
That's true.
Speaking of execution, I was about to say that your boy Kenta is over here getting tied up like nice. God damn.
That's what he won the title with, was with a crossface chicken wing.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say Bob Backlund should be coming in here in a second. Like, I can't steal my move.
Yo, I still wouldn't fuck with Bob Backlund.
No.
That's a crazy apart. Old bastard.
Yeah.
So I was like, excuse me, Mr. Backlund, by all means, I'll get out your way.
I was, I think it was 19. I saw him at a WrestleCon, and he's doing like a no-handed headstand. The guy's like 79 years old.
Kiss my ass! I'll break my arm if I try to do some shit like that right now. This hardwood floor don't give.
You remember that promo that Titus O'Neil cut on Bob Backlund?
Vaguely. Yeah.
It's more that it's funny than it's actually a really good promo, but like YouTube search Titus O'Neil pipe bomb, and he just comes out and starts talking shit about Bob Backlund, and it's so funny.
Okay. Now I'll say I always like a good giggle when it comes to wrestling in this scenario. Something quick, be on your way. Oh!
I mean, Titus O'Neil's just living his best life. He doesn't have to wrestle. You know, they fly him everywhere. They pay him millions of dollars.
Oh,
good on him.
Millions of dollars. No, he, as a brand, you know, ambassador, you know, that's... the bad part about it is you have to, you know, push the WWE agenda / propaganda. Now, if you can do that and rest your head well at night, then by all means, knock yourselves out. I know me well enough that I can't do that. You know, I'm a slave for the money, but I mean, at a certain point, you know, I just can't be saying how great Saudi is when I know Saudi ain't that great.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Nah.
Oh,
knock the head. Ah.
Okay, see, it looks like he's getting him with the shoulder, but still the look of the flying headbutt is still kind of cringe. Okay, see, yeah, now we're picking it up.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of doing
okay,
things...
Okay, see, this is some New Japan shit right there.
Yeah. So besides money, why would Kenta even go to WWE?
I mean, exposure?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
the other thing is, like, I don't know, for whatever reason, like, people say apparently, like, Nakamura wanted to live here, too. Which maybe is just because he's getting paid more and working less than he would in Japan, but...
It felt like at the time, maybe he kind of did all he could in Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wanted to, you know, try something new, maybe.
Now, there's something to be said about hitting the ceiling. I mean, if this is, you know, you checked all the boxes, and there's, I guess it's like Bron Breakker on NXT, you know, if he, God forbid, if they moved him up tomorrow, I wouldn't be upset about that, even though he doesn't has like, what, under 100 matches underneath his belt. In those less than 100 matches, he's pretty much done all you can do in NXT.
Yeah.
Minus, you know, a feud here, a feud there. Dragunov, I think, should be really, really good. I'm excited for that. But outside of that, wait. I mean, he's not going to go back and, you know, wrestle for the North American title at this point. That's just silly.
Yeah.
Are we getting Bron Breakker versus Dragunov?
Yes. Wow. My guess is going to be at their Great American Bash show at the end of the month.
Wow. So they're basically just giving Breakker a bunch of fucking dream matches before he gets called up, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
Get him repped with some of those guys that are studs.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah, sign me the fuck.
Oh, mother. I got your video plays out there. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that is Segura, but whoever it is, it looks like a thumb.
Our first replay.
I'm telling you, I'm willing to put the $5 in my wallet on the fact that that's Segura in the corner. I ain't putting more than $5 on it. The camera shuts too far away. Okay, there we go.
That guy's got an Austin Aries t-shirt on. That didn't age well.
Okay, see, I did not. Now I'm looking for this Austin Aries t-shirt.
There's a couple rolls back.
I'm sorry.
That Tiki Barber jersey that guy has?
Could be.
Yes. I tripped off of that, too. Actually, I see it right now. He's on my left or right-hand side, like at 1 o'clock. I love the spot, but, I mean, I know those chairs were, like, not very, what's the word I'm looking for, comfortable to land on.
I sat in one last night. They had to suck to get to eat shit on.
Yeah, he's coming in hot. No question about this. And guys, and you know, fans are like, we moving. Fuck all that. Nigel McGuinness shirt in the front row.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool looking shirt.
Ooh.
Okay, see. One arm kip up. See, that's what I'm talking about. Pull it off. Okay. Yeah. See, this is where you're better than me, Mr. Davidson. It's tap.
Tap.
Okay.
Just tap the mat.
He's trying to take that arm again, man. This is wild.
Just tap the mat. Oh, fuck me running. Jesus Christ. On a rubber fucking crutch. Yeah, these two don't want to pin each other.
Nah.
I was getting ready to say, once again, yeah, even after the cutter, he went for, he being Kenta, went for the submission. There's been very few pin attempts, way more submissions.
Work the arm.
And I am all for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I would not be upset if somebody taps here.
I'll admit, I don't remember how this one ends, so.
Yeah, I have a decent idea, but. Well, at least who wins, but I mean,
I was getting ready to say I'm willing to put that same $5 on the fact that Danielson wins. Now, how he wins, no clue.
It'll be epic.
Oh.
Yeah, these fucking Ring of Honor crowds back then, too. Jesus.
Yeah.
Hot.
Hammerstein,
hot.
Especially, always hot.
Yeah, Brendan, your people are loud.
Yeah.
No, that's good, man. I'm not saying a hot crowd just only adds to the, if you got a good action in the ring or a good build to the shit, a hot crowd just adds a little more layer to what could be a good match that turns into a great match. This, as I say, I don't have the sound up, but I definitely see a lot of people showing their ass. So, yeah, I would assume that this is a fairly hot crowd.
Yeah. My favorite match of all time in this crowd or in this place was what was it? It was Adam Pearce versus Brent Albright. Mm. It was because the crowd was so hot and wanted Albright to win so bad. It was like it made it just such an electric match. I've never watched it back since.
Ooh. Yeah, because
Adam Pearce, that guy who's given the tribal chief all sorts of trouble these days.
That's the same Adam Pearce.
One and the same. Circle gets the square.
Former NWA champion, Adam Pearce.
I was going to say, wrestling is so wild, man.
Yeah.
God damn.
Because he's a bad motherfucker, isn't he, Adam Pearce?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but.
Scrap
he was a
iron.
Good old Scott.
I thought he was always like a mid-card kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know?
He would have been a great territory guy.
He wasn't enhancement talent. He was never the world champion per se. Yeah. He was kind of like somewhere in that gray.
He's a Midwest guy too.
Yes. Yeah. He is
a Midwest guy.
He was big in the early days of PWG too.
Nice.
Like
that's
the first
wild,
year. Yeah.
Oh.
And now look at him giving the tribal chief all kinds of fits.
CM Punk's got nothing.
You know it would be easier if you just acknowledged Roman and moved on with his day.
If you just shut the fuck up, you'd be all right.
Oh. Danielson
that arm
did
is
not
just hanging off there. I feel like I'm a little behind you guys, but okay. Yeah, I'm a little behind you.
I think so too. Yep. Yeah.
So you guys didn't see the go to sleep yet?
No, I'm just hitting that now.
Okay. Yeah. I'll pause for a couple seconds.
I had an ad or two. I thought I was
I was getting ready to say I had an ad or two. I was getting ready to say hit the go to sleep, which is, I mean, that spot is amazing. The foot on the rope. Okay, he didn't kick. I was going to say kick out would have been the way I would have looked for it, but foot on the rope just adds a little more drama.
Everybody thought that was it, too.
If I would have never known about the Bryan Danielson run, and if you'd have shown me that spot, I would have thought that's it. I mean, damn, you caught this dude off the top rope and then hit him with the finisher. Yeah, that's
go to sleep too. At that time, that was like the move too. You know, years later, it's the package pile driver or something like that. It
was protected at this point.
Yeah. It was always it.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't end right there. Yeah, I think for this last 3 minutes, we had one pinfall attempt. Fucking love it.
Oh, nice little kind of roll into the bridge. Yep. I like that shit.
He's the man of all the pin attempts, too, at that time. Mr. Small Package.
You said small package.
Damn kids.
Eh.
That would look like a fast count, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
Get it together, Sinclair.
You think I guess I wasn't paying that close attention.
I'd be sleeping. Good night.
I wouldn't say it was a fast count, per se, but it definitely felt like that was going to be the end. But speaking of the end,
those fucking elbows, Jesus.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, Mr. St. Clair, you can step in at any given point now.
Maybe not.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'll shut up. Okay, go ahead, Kenta. Come on out of this. I'll just shut the fuck up. Oh, nice reversal.
Yep.
See, this is where I wish I'd have never known about Brian Danielson, because I'd be really into this shit if I didn't know that this was going to end with Danielson retaining the title. But it's still a good-ass match. Do not get it twisted. Okay, this is where you tap, right?
No, this is where you tap.
I felt like we said that like 8 times. Like, you're tapping right here, right? No, you're...
It's like watching Kitty and Will Ospreay from Forbidden Door. This is the end, right? No.
Wait, no. Yeah, right? No. Yeah, seriously.
Okay, dude, this has got to be it, right? I mean, you're in the middle of the ring. Just go ahead. Yeah. There is no shame in tapping at this point. I mean, damn. Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
I ain't mad at you, dog. Yeah. I'm not mad at you, shit.
He's mad. Shit is
looking with paper. Well, I'm not mad at you, shit. I'm about to say, I'm willing to tip my hat. That's a hell of a performance.
I say this with all our watch alongs, too. That did not feel like 35 minutes.
At all. No.
That fucking flew.
Yeah, that just flew right by. Not even a question. I could watch that Joker again and have no problem with that. And it just, this just stamps Danielson's greatness. You know, and like Alex said earlier, man, it just makes me wish that this is the Kenta I see in New Japan, the guy that, you know, is much more of a dangerous figure versus the chicanery, for lack of a better word, than I see now.
Helps out with the ROH title, makes it more of a world title, beat one of the big guys in Japan. It's such an
Morishima won it, right?
He did, yeah. He would be champion maybe in about the next like 6-7 months or so.
Okay, because I watched one of his matches against Brian.
Oh, yeah. That was a fast
35-35, man.
Yeah.
This was too, like, all those Noah guys were so stiff when they came over.
Morishima knocked his eye socket out, I remember. It was like broke his eye socket, I think it was.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. They had a pretty damn good feud there.
You think? Yeah. About to say, dude, you fucked up my eye.
Oh, man.
Good shit. Who picked this one? I was going to say, I got to give him credit. This was a good call.
Yeah, that was all Brundon.
That was me.
Good call, Brundon. This was a match I've never seen before. And the fact that it's two guys that I know, but like I said, never seen the match. This was good, and this flew right by. This felt like 25-55 versus 35-55. I mean, damn, we watched everything start to finish, the introductions, the whole shebang, and that was, like I said, just flew right by. Anybody that gets a chance to watch this, if you can, go to YouTube, check it out. It's worth the half hour investment for sure.
Two guys at the top of their game, just like. In a perfect crowd, it's just one of those matches that just had everything going for it. Yeah,
and that's I will definitely put obviously put the link in the show notes here. And I'm just kind of going through some of the other matches here, and like you should watch this, like Brian Danielson versus AJ Styles, 33 minutes. Danielson Samoa Joe ROH Pure Championship match.
Damn,
fucking forget about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm really saying. This is why I'm glad I don't have the honor roll package, because that's a rabbit hole waiting to happen. I mean, I can see what you, just one guy turns into the next. Oh, I never knew this match happened. You're kidding me. Next thing you know, I'm up to 4 a.m. getting ready to work, you know, a 12-hour day. You know, that's bad business.
Yep.
We got Kenny Omega.
Enough wrestler to watch at this point. You know, Ring of Honor, like I said, that's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, the next one that popped up for me was Brian Danielson versus Tyler Black. But yeah, we got Kenny Omega versus Brian Danielson versus Tyler Black. Yeah, we did a watch along with some buddies.
We want to watch that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
we did a watch along. It was Tyler Black and Brian Danielson versus the American Wolves.
Oh, and, that was so good.
And none of us knew it went to a 45-minute draw, and then all of a sudden they say. And like all of a sudden they say 5 minutes.
Oh no.
They go 5 minutes to go and all four of us are like, are you fucking, wait, what? Oh shit. Yeah, that was a fun surprise. That was a fun surprise. So
Yeah, that don't sound so fun to me. I'd be like, all right, man, where's this next match? We watching this next match, damn it. There's no way I'm going away like this.
Yeah. So man, well, I appreciate you guys sharing. That was a great pick, Brendan, as always. It's
great call,
you know, and that's just another reason, you know, why we do a Ring of Honor podcast, at least Ring of Honor previous, you know.
If you want a good pick from 08 and below, I'm your man.
Yeah, well, I know Azar. I saw his head pop up. I know he's got a couple too. So
that's great.
I hope this is not a one time thing. It'd be nice to, you know, we can get Brett on, get a couple other people's fucking make it, you know, a night of it sometime. So.
Hey man, you know, I'm always down for it. You just let me know the time and the place. I'm there.
I do want to track down that Nigel Morifuji,
yeah.
Morifuji match. So
yeah.
I said JCB and Azar, have you guys seen Nigel McGuinness actually in the ring?
I have. Not a lie, and obviously it was all Ring of Honor matches, but I would probably say I've seen like a handful of Nigel McGuinness matches, nothing to where I feel like, you know, I can speak intelligibly on it, but I figured, you know, I know enough to where I got a general idea, you know, what he can do in the ring.
Yeah.
I've seen a few against Brian, of course, and then one against Kurt Angle from TNA.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like I might have seen one or two more on top of that.
I totally forget that Kurt Angle's in TNA all the time.
Dude,
that Nigel was.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a member of Fortune.
Because we watched the first one we did was actually Nigel versus Jerry Lynn. That match is fucking great. If you guys ever get a chance to go back and watch that, Jerry Lynn could fucking go. You know, he kind of got saddled with that ECW mark, but yeah, Nigel could fucking go. What was I just gonna say?
Did I tell you I saw Jerry Lynn at a bar after Rampage once?
No.
It was the night Rampage was live at the casino in Connecticut, like Mohegan Sun.
Okay, Mohegan Sun. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm at some bar where they've got. I think it's just like they've got some cover band playing. I just look over and I'm standing next to Austin and Colton Gunn and Jerry Lynn.
Was Austin rapping?
No, they were hitting on some girls, so I didn't talk to them. But I said, like, one of them was like ordering a drink and turned around. It's like patting his shoulders, like, hey, man, nice work. And just like left him alone. But I've always thought it was pretty funny.
Jerry Lynn's the shit.
Damn right.
Small fucking world, man.
Yeah, and I know I'm stealing a gimmick here, but how the fuck does Kurt Angle not have a single 5-star match?
Oh, I'm sure he does. It's just the guy that
he does
throws
not.
It out there. Yeah. The guy that throws it out there is the legitimate one. Now, we sat here and watched some of his shit. I'm sure between of us, we throw a 5-star match out there. A 5-star match of Kurt Angle's, whether it's in WWE or TNA. I refuse to sit here and believe that one of the greatest wrestlers that I've ever seen in my lifetime does not have a 5-star match.
I don't know if you guys
in the Tokyo Dome.
Right.
You're saying him and Nagata at Wrestle Kingdom 2.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but now that you say that, I kind of want to see it because now you're making me think it's going to be a train wreck. So now I got to watch.
Yeah, because he did some Wrestle King, obviously a couple of Wrestle Kingdoms, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. Because remember how there was the whole Brock Lesnar fiasco with the
belt
and belt. So they had to go get Kurt. I don't understand how it works out. They'd go get Kurt Angle to beat Brock Lesnar, and then eventually, I think they had Angle beat Nagata and a few other guys, and then Tanahashi or Nakamura got to beat Angle.
That sounds right. I was going to say I can't remember after Brock Lesnar who Angle wrestled. I think it was
Nakamura. I remember there was some guy that dropped him right on his fucking head too. Like almost broke his neck. I cannot remember who it was. But that might have been for IGF, actually.
God damn, fucking Kurt Angle versus fucking Shinsuke. Sign me the fuck up for that.
That was before Super Charismatic Shinsuke.
Yeah, this would have been like 2009 at the latest, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say Shinsuke ain't fucking around. Yeah, sign me the fuck up for that. I'd say he's trying to kill Kurt Angle at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, we should, one of these days, that's some good podcast content. Let's go out there and find Kurt Angle 5-star matches.
I mean, I can think of stuff that's close to 5, but I can't think of anything that I've gone 5 on with him.
I would say him and Benoit, Royal Rumble. Yeah, HBK.
HBK is one that really stands out. Yeah. I think the feud itself I thought was really good. From that point, that's where you get, sexy Kurt, I'll make your ankle hurt.
The return of Sherry Martel,
At that point, right there. Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's a 5-star promo as far as I'm concerned. So you can't tell me you got two, WWE Hall of Famers in the ring at the same time. And you going to tell me that these guys can't put on a 5-star match, that they've never had a 5-star match? I just find that extremely hard to believe.
Get the fuck out. Yeah, I'm with you there. So, well, dudes, this is awesome. I mean, great prick, Brendan. Great prick. Wow.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Don't tell your
wife
I said.
This is not a video podcast, so you right. know.
don't tell your wife I said that. Don't tell my wife I said that. And let's not isolate that real quick. Great pick. But yeah, I mean, listen, yeah, we can, this is our podcast. We can do whatever the fuck we want. So I know, okay. Azar, you've got a couple stuff, so we can make this a semi-regular thing. So
let me
know. I promise I won't pick the Goshi Ozaki Fujita match from 2020 with the extended stare down, but I'll give you some good ones.
You say they're still staring. Nobody's moved.
I'm not gonna lie. I've watched that match multiple times.
One of these days, I'm gonna go back and watch that match. I've never seen that match.
I've seen it probably like 4 or 5 times.
That's crazy. I have to just see it just for the fact that it sounds so weird. And I'm like, come on, man. I mean, he's right there. Just go ahead. Just push him. He's right there. He ain't going to do nothing. I can see me talking to these guys through this shit and nobody's going to do anything. So yeah, I'm curious to see how that unfolds. Cause like I said, I've never seen the match. I've heard all things about it. And that to me is, that's where the pandemic was. That's how bad it was wrestling wise in the middle of the pandemic. You were willing to watch two guys stare each other down for 20, 25, 30 minutes. We had the Thunderdome over here in America. The pandemic was so bad when it came to wrestling. It fucked all kinds of shit up. And God bless them all. They tried to come up with ideas to keep things fresh and keep, us interested and, invested. This is the one where I'm just like, man, I don't know. Who came up with this idea? How long are they supposed to be staring? Damn.
Well, I think it was like, this was like the second week of it too. So like, it was just totally like, there was absolutely nothing going on anywhere. So yeah, I remember on Reddit, it popped up. It's like, It's like extended stare down in like Goshi Ozaki match. And it was like, how long can it be? And then it just like, I was watching it with my girlfriend at the time. It just keeps going. She leaves the room, goes to cook something. They're still staring, leaves the room to get and grab something else. Fujita walks to a different corner of the ring and is there for another like 10 minutes.
Oh, no.
This literally sounds like a way you would defend like the DDT Extreme title or something like that, or the KOP title is like, oh, staring contest. Let's go.
Well, but it sort of played into what they were like, the story they were telling going into the match was that because Fujita was like a legit Inoki MMA guy, that people would like rush in on him too quickly and he'd destroy him. So, like, what they were going to do without COVID is have an extended stare down, just like say, hey, like, Go's not going to make the first move. But because COVID, they just took that and
ran with
it. As far as like half the match is the stare down.
Were they at least 6 feet apart?
Yeah.
Yes, they were. Easily 6 feet apart.
Because they did it again, but it wasn't quite as, like, it was. It was a couple minutes at most in a match that Kenno had against Fujita not too long after.
I kind of remember that, I think. I think that's when I started watching Noah fairly regularly. Was Fujita the champ at that point or no?
The stare down match is Go as champ. The
Kenno
one,
Kenno
is national champ.
That doesn't sound familiar. Either way, I still got a problem with Fujita. He beat Nakajima at a time where, you know, I'm just starting to get into Noah, and Nakajima's rolling through everybody, and all of a sudden here comes Fujita. I'm like, whoa, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, stop. What are you doing?
Fujita is so funny. Like, did you see, I think the night that Kaito won the N1 last year, Fujita comes out and just pours beer all over his head.
I'm like, dude, fuck this dude, man. I don't like you. I was like, at that point, I don't even care about Kaito Kiyomiya. I was like, I know who I don't like. I don't like your ball-headed ass. You're pissing me off.
Old Iron Head.
All right, fellas, I'm gonna get out of here. I gotta get ready for work in the morning.
Sweet.
First double back. No, my ass. Shit, I was getting ready to say, I'm gonna try to sneak some more wrestling in while I iron this shirt.
Well, real quick before we pull a train to the station, Azar, do you have any social media at all? Anything you want to plug? Okay.
No,
it's okay.
G1.
That's all right. You are a smart man, my friend. So. And like I said, I'll keep saying, I still think you need your own podcast, but this will not be the only time we ever do this. But JCB, my friend, plug all your social media and all your podcasts and everything for us.
It's not that bad. JS West podcast and Fan from Ringside, a part of Visionary Global Media. So either you can go to Visionary Global Media, hit that in the space bar. That's probably the safest bet. And that way you can subscribe to the network itself and you get all of the great podcasts, including RH Revelry as well. Social media, Twitter is, my handle is at BFR_PSP_JCB. I just changed it so it doesn't flow like it should. And then obviously at BFR Pod and at Phoenix Splash Podcast. No, it's PHX or PHX Splash Pod is the Twitter handle for Phoenix Splash Podcast. So there you go. Find us, follow us, all that good shit.
And if you're not following and or listening, I don't know what the fuck you're doing with your life. But I will definitely put the links in there. And then, Brunnen, for any first-time listeners, my friend, you want to plug all your social media and where people can find you besides Ring of Honor Revelry?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Irish Misfit. You know, listen to my weekly little question of dishonor that people are really trying to keep me on my toes by coming up with better questions than me. But They say you can find me sometimes with our friend Eric Frieds and Nattering with E. We're going to get together and do something else. Nice. And you can listen to my the Wizards use 25% of the notes I send them every week.
Those bastards. So, yeah. And
there's a lot of wrestling to talk about.
Yeah.
If they used the 14 pages of notes, their podcast would be a week long.
That's awesome. But Jesus Christ. You know, and do stay tuned for your boy here, Hi-Fi Tom. We'll be also be on Nattering with E eventually sometime, hopefully before the end of the year. But gentlemen, thank you. You can follow me at Hi-Fi Tom, all that shit. I'll put all the show links in. But you guys are awesome. I appreciate all of you. And I'll talk to all the high-fivers later.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.